Usually, when we think about the world breaking down, we picture this like single catastrophic event, you know.
Right, like a movie-style disaster.
Exactly. Like an asteroid hits, the power goes out, and just
Right.
boom, suddenly everything stops.
Yeah.
But then you step into the world of complex systems and you realize the reality is a lot less Hollywood and a lot more, I guess, structural.
It's way more subtle.
Right.
Yeah.
He's like turning on your kitchen faucet, and instead of a rush of water, you just get this slow, sputtering drip. And the pipes in your house are perfectly fine, but the reservoir, like hundreds of miles away, is just drying up.
Yeah, the invisible scaffolding of our daily lives is suddenly becoming, well, very visible because it's under extreme tension right now.
Totally.
And we are diving into a stack of reports today that really highlight a system that's undergoing a profound, unignorable transformation.
Which is why we're so excited to welcome you to the very first audio review for The Sleeping Giant.
Yes, welcome.
Think of this deep dive as your weekly report, Awakening the Sleeping Giant, specifically for the week of April 6th, 2026.
A big week.
A huge week. And our mission here is to give you a curated glimpse into the articles of the week, really analyzing the specific signals, patterns, and threads that are currently unfolding in our world.
And doing it entirely outside the realm of mainstream news, which is key.
Exactly. We are looking at alternative reports, raw data, the underlying currents. And because of that, I want to say right up front, today's stack contains some highly charged content spanning a lot of different viewpoints.
Very charged.
Yeah, so we are impartially unpacking these narratives. We're not endorsing them, we're not taking sides, but we're exploring them because they point to this really fascinating, complex picture of a world in transition.
Yeah, and looking at the whole board this week, there is one undeniable primary signal.
Okay, what is
The
it?
overarching theme here is that the system has entered sustained stress mode.
Sustained stress mode.
Okay, right. The global apparatus has officially transitioned from episodic, event-driven volatility, you know, where we just react to a single shock, patch it up, and recover to continuous structural instability.
Wow.
And this is happening simultaneously across energy, infrastructure, and finance.
So sustained stress mode implies it is not just a temporary glitch, it's like a new operating environment entirely.
Exactly.
And the sources point to things that are incredibly physical, which is why we are starting with energy and infrastructure, because that is the most immediate manifestation of this global stress test for, you know, everyday life.
The stuff you actually feel.
Right. So the Colonial Pipeline shut down on April 1st exposed massive domestic vulnerabilities right here in the U.S. We're looking at reports of diesel prices hitting $5.61 on average and an unbelievable $7.67 a gallon in California.
That's just
It
wild.
is. And jet fuel costs have basically doubled since the end of February.
Yeah, and the transition from like a theoretical price imbalance to an actual real-world distribution failure happens right at that nexus. It is no longer a question of what a barrel of oil costs on some financial terminal. The question is whether the physical fuel can actually travel from the refinery to the actual destination.
Okay, let's unpack this. We used to compare the global supply chain to a giant Jenga tower, right?
Yeah, the classic
You
analogy.
pull the Strait of Hormuz block, and it doesn't just affect the top of the tower, it destabilizes the whole foundation.
Right. But what's fascinating here is that the sources are basically saying a better analogy is a massive, high-speed, just-in-time conveyor belt.
Ooh, okay.
And this belt has absolutely no warehouse behind it.
None at all.
None. For decades, we've built this belt to run perfectly, assuming every single piece arrives the exact second it's needed. But right now, geopolitics is halting the belt at its most critical choke points.
Like the Strait of Hormuz.
Exactly. And when the belt stops there, it doesn't just raise gas prices, you know? It starves the entire global manufacturing apparatus of its baseline
So
ingredients.
it's a shortage of nearly everything.
Yeah, the downstream domino effect is hitting places you wouldn't intuitively connect to Middle Eastern shipping lanes.
Like where?
Well, the reports detail how Taiwan is literally running out of plastic for its manufacturers.
Wait, Taiwan, running out of plastic.
Yes, because plastic is derived from naphtha, which comes from refining crude oil. So when the tankers stop moving, the polymer precursors never reach Taipei.
Oh, wow.
And suddenly, consumer electronics packaging, medical supplies, basic manufacturing components, they just cease to exist. South Korea is experiencing panic buying of everyday items like trash bags for the exact same reason.
Crash bags. That is, I mean, that really puts it in perspective. And that lack of baseline chemical ingredients extends way beyond just plastic.
Oh, absolutely.
The sources outline a looming global fertilizer crisis, which honestly feels much more urgent to me. Because natural gas is trapped in the Middle East, and that doesn't just stop factories, it stops the Haber-Bosch process.
Right, which is arguably the most important chemical reaction of the 20th century.
Remind me how that works again.
So, you take atmospheric nitrogen and you bond it with hydrogen to create synthetic ammonia for fertilizer. But that hydrogen is stripped directly from natural gas.
Right.
It isn't just that the factories need natural gas for electricity. The natural gas is the literal physical chemical feedstock for the fertilizer.
Wow.
Without it, global agricultural yields plummet instantly.
Which perfectly explains this incredibly bizarre detail in the sources regarding the current state of our food.
Oh, the Frankenstein food thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
There's this viral test mentioned in the reports involving Wonder Bread.
Yeah.
Someone put a slice under running tap water, and it physically repelled the water like a synthetic sponge, like the water just bounced off.
That is so unsettling.
Right. And the sources tie this directly to the supply chain shortages we just talked about. As agricultural ingredients become scarce, manufacturers are substituting real food components with, like, highly processed petroleum-derived emulsifiers.
And synthetic dough conditioners.
Exactly. So as that conveyor belt seizes up, the strange hyper-processed reality of the food on our grocery store shelves becomes really impossible to ignore.
It's bringing the macro-level global crisis directly to your kitchen counter.
Literally.
But, you know, to understand why that conveyor belt is stopping, we have to look at the actors deliberately pulling the emergency brakes.
The geopolitics.
Exactly. The standoff in the Middle East, detailed in these sources, represents a complete repositioning of global power dynamics.
And the specifics reported here are really intense. The sources describe a Tuesday, 8 p.m. Eastern ultimatum given to Iran by President Trump.
Mm-hmm.
We have reports of the complete destruction of the B-1 bridge in Iran. And there is this massive claim that after 33 days of a devastating military campaign, Iran actually asked for a ceasefire.
Right.
And the U.S. supposedly flat-out rejected it until the Strait of Hormuz is fully reopened.
And that rejection, if true, signals a fundamental shift in modern warfare.
How so?
Well, we are moving from force projection to system leverage.
Yeah.
Historically, you know, military campaigns were about taking territory or capturing a capital city.
Boots on the ground type stuff.
Exactly. But today, it is about controlling the valves of the global economy. By refusing a ceasefire until the strait opens, the strategy treats the economic choke point as the primary objective.
So they're effectively using the global economy's reliance on that shipping lane as the ultimate weapon.
Precisely.
But the sources take that concept of system leverage even further, presenting a scenario that honestly feels almost too big to comprehend.
Huge.
They assert that the U.S. is intentionally abandoning the petrodollar system. The report highlights a directive where the U.S. essentially tells the rest of the world to go to the strait and just take it themselves.
Yeah.
Followed by the instruction to buy oil from the United States.
And I mean, the petrodollar has been the bedrock of global finance since the 1970s. The arrangement was really simple. The U.S. provided military security for Middle Eastern oil. And in exchange, all global oil was priced and traded exclusively in U.S. dollars.
Which guaranteed constant worldwide demand for the dollar.
Exactly.
But wait, I have to challenge the logic of intentionally dismantling that. Like, if the U.S. intentionally walks away from the petrodollar system, doesn't that destroy the global demand for our currency?
That's the immediate question, yeah.
Why would a government willingly orchestrate a move that threatens to send trillions of dollars flooding back into the domestic economy? Wouldn't that risk massive hyperinflation?
Well, the sources suggest this is a calculated structural pivot because the fundamental math of the 1970s just no longer applies.
Okay, what's the new math?
The U.S. has vastly increased its own domestic energy production over the last decade. The argument is that the U.S. is pivoting to become the world's primary energy supplier.
Oh, wow. The world's gas station.
Exactly. By walking away from guaranteeing the Strait of Hormuz, the U.S. forces foreign nations to face a crippling energy crisis. This positions American energy exports as the only stable alternative.
So the dollar's strength would no longer be backed by a protection racket over Middle Eastern oil, but by the physical oil and gas produced domestically.
Right, which completely rewrites the post-World War II alliance structure.
Which explains the reports highlighting that traditional NATO allies like France, Italy, Spain, the UK are reportedly blocking U.S. military flights.
Yeah, denying airspace.
And actively backing away. The UK Prime Minister is quoted in these sources saying, "This is not our war."
Incredible.
So what does this all mean? How does a global system function when the historical guarantors of security suddenly step back and declare they are prioritizing their own borders?
It ceases to function as a cohesive system. I mean, European nations are looking at their domestic energy crises, their fertilizer shortages, and inflation, and making a calculated decision.
Which is?
That participating in a conflict that further disrupts their access to vital resources is economic suicide. The alliance just fractures under the weight of sheer self-preservation.
And when alliances fracture that violently, capital doesn't just wait around for the dust to settle.
No, it sprints to the nearest safe harbor.
Exactly. And the market numbers reported in these documents reflect a very violent rotation. We're talking gold surging to $4,789 an ounce.
Massive.
Oil hitting $110 a barrel. The unveiling of a $1.5 trillion U.S. defense budget. And then a truly staggering metric. Foreign central banks have dumped $82 billion in U.S. treasuries.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the institutional markets are exhibiting controlled repricing behavior.
What does that mean exactly?
They aren't panic selling. They are structurally transitioning from reaction to anticipation. They are anticipating a world where geopolitical trust is broken.
Meaning paper promises like foreign held debt carry an unacceptable level of risk.
Exactly. Hard assets become the only safe play because stability is now highly conditional.
Here's where it gets really interesting to me. When you look at foreign central banks dumping $82 billion in U.S. treasuries, it reminds me of watching the foundational architecture of the banking system, desperately trying to recollateralize.
Yes.
It is not just passengers looking for lifeboats. It's like the ship's engineers quietly replacing the vessel's hull with entirely different materials while still out at sea.
That's a great way to put it.
But what is the actual mechanism here? How does a foreign bank dumping treasuries translate to the everyday financial reality of you, the person listening to this right now?
Well, when foreign nations dump U.S. debt, they are selling those bonds into the open market. To find buyers for that massive influx of bonds, the yield, which is the interest rate the bond pays, has to go up.
Right.
And as treasury yields rise, they pull literally every other interest rate up with them. Mortgages, car loans, credit cards.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. At the same time, because fewer countries are holding dollars in reserve, the purchasing power of the dollar drops. So that cost of living crisis we discussed with the $7.67 diesel and the processed food, that is the direct street level result of foreign capital flight.
The global financial architecture is resetting.
Yeah.
And the sources argue this is perfectly mirrored by a radical, unprecedented institutional overhaul playing out domestically.
The domestic purge.
Right. The texts literally call it a purge. And the details move incredibly fast in these reports. Pam Bondi is suddenly replaced by Todd Blanche, the president's personal defense attorney at the Department of Justice. We see the sudden, unredacted release of all 3.5 million pages of the Epstein files. Massive banking settlements hitting simultaneously. J.P. Morgan paying $290 million. Bank of America paying $72.5 million.
It's all happening at once.
And plus, there are intense rumors of a sudden 7-2 Supreme Court conservative supermajority following a justice's undisclosed hospitalization.
Yeah, and the sources frame this entire sequence not as random political maneuvering, but as a synchronized, controlled demolition of the old establishment protection network.
I want to dig into that concept of a controlled demolition. Why do the banking settlements and the DOJ leadership changes have to happen simultaneously?
According to the reports, the current fiat system relies on an interconnected network of institutional protection.
Like a web.
Exactly. Yeah. You have banks that obscure capital flows, judicial figures who protect those banks, and political appointees who shield the entire apparatus.
Okay, that makes sense.
The texts repeatedly reference the impending activation of the QFS, or the quantum financial system.
Right, the QFS.
In this narrative, the QFS is a decentralized, asset-backed, fundamentally transparent ledger, and that is completely incompatible with the old fractional reserve fiat system.
Obviously.
So to transition to a transparent architecture, the old scaffolding, the compromised officials, the historical power brokers, the entrenched banking practices must be systematically dismantled first.
That sets the stage perfectly for the massive leaps these sources take in the final section of the report.
Yeah, it takes a turn.
It really does. Because as the financial and political systems deconstruct, the sources suggest our understanding of physical reality and history is being deconstructed right alongside them. We go from very grounded economic data about treasury yields to claims that challenge our fundamental worldview.
the scope of the information expands dramatically.
It really does. For instance, there is a fascinating report alleging that Russian President Putin is declassifying documents about the lost empire of Tartaria.
The Tartaria files.
Yes. The claim is that a technologically and spiritually advanced global empire was systematically erased from our history books in the 18th century to allow for centralized globalist control.
The premise being that whoever controls the historical narrative controls the limits of present-day human potential.
Exactly. And then, shifting from the past to the sky, the American Meteor Society is reporting an unprecedented record-breaking surge of green fireballs and meteors streaking across the U.S. in March.
And the sources have a theory on that, right?
Yeah. Well, mainstream agencies just label it, like, fireball season. The alternative analysts in these sources suggest we are moving into a specific debris field. Or they note anomalies in their trajectories, like approaching from the direction opposite the sun.
And looking beneath the ground, the stack includes a narrative reevaluating the entire 2020 global lockdown.
Oh, this claim is staggering in its scale.
It really is.
The assertion is that the lockdowns were not primarily a medical response, but a massive global military cover operation.
Mm-hmm.
The sources suggest the streets needed to be emptied, so special operations forces from 22 nations could conduct coordinated raids on a vast network of underground tunnels, rescuing victims of human trafficking.
Right.
They point to the deployment of empty hospital ships in New York and Los Angeles, and unexplained shallow earthquakes, mapping those events to controlled underground operations. I mean, I have to say, the sheer logistical scale required for an operation like that is awe-inspiring to even consider.
It is an incredibly dense, paradigm-shattering compilation of information.
It's a lot.
It is a lot. And within the context of these sources, all of these narratives, from the financial resets to the suppressed histories and the covert operations, serve a very specific psychological function.
What's the function?
They act as catalysts for profound disillusionment with the old world, really forcing individuals to unlearn established paradigms. And this connects directly to the piece in the sources by Laura Boley discussing the concept of the waiting room.
Okay, walk us through the mechanics of the waiting room.
The sources describe a populace that has watched the illusions of the old establishment fracture, their trust in legacy institutions, fiat currencies, and even consensus history has completely dissolved.
So they're awake.
Right. They have entered this metaphorical waiting room. They cannot return to the old reality because their awareness has fundamentally shifted.
But the new reality hasn't started yet.
Exactly. The new reality, a world operating on transparency, asset-backed systems, and higher coherence, has not yet fully materialized.
So you're just stuck.
Yeah. They sit in this transitional space, watching the old just-in-time conveyor belt halt and the controlled demolition run its course, just waiting for the external world to align with their new understanding.
You are awake, but you are navigating a landscape entirely defined by transition. And that transition is driven by every interacting pressure we've unpacked today.
Everything is causally linked.
Tying all these threads together, the week of April 6, 2026, showcases a system where nothing operates independently anymore. Geopolitical leverage closes physical choke points.
Mm-hmm.
That stops the chemical feedstocks required for basic manufacturing and agriculture. Those shortages trigger inflation and domestic instability.
Right.
And in response, capital sprints toward hard assets, while institutional power undergoes a massive synchronized purge. They are interdependent stress multipliers.
And, you know, for the listener navigating this specific stack of information, the key takeaway is to focus on the mechanics of this system rather than getting overwhelmed by the daily narrative noise.
Which is so easy to do.
It really is. But recognize the patterns. When you see foreign banks dumping U.S. treasuries or fertilizer components trapped overseas, understand the downstream mechanisms at play. Stability still exists, but it requires profound resilience and the ability to adapt to a rapidly changing operational environment.
It is about understanding the plumbing of the system, not just staring at the faucet.
Perfect way to put it.
Building on Laura Aboli's concept of the waiting room and the monumental shifts these sources describe, I won't leave you with a final thought to mull over.
Let's hear it.
We have spent this time tracking the macro-level transformations. You know, the global conveyor belts, the domestic purges, the fracturing alliances.
Yeah.
But consider the micro level. Consider yourself. If the physical things we consume, our fuel, the highly processed food on our shelves, and the very historical and societal narratives we've based our entire worldview on are all simultaneously transforming, what happens to your own personal identity when the doors of the waiting room finally open?
That's the real question. Because when the external structures that historically defined your reality fall away, you are forced to build a foundation entirely from within.
Exactly. How do you prepare yourself to thrive in a world that suddenly operates on entirely different rules, relying on transparent ledgers, decentralized power, and unfiltered history?
It demands an unprecedented level of mental flexibility and self-trust.
It absolutely does. Thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive into the sleeping giant. It is a dense, remarkable stack of signals to process, but staying curious, asking how the pieces connect, and keeping your eyes wide open are the best tools you have. We will be back next time to sort through the next wave of reports. Until then, stay observant and take care.